The 50th Story, A Fair Maiden's Love. One day a father and a mother with their two boys started out from their old home. It was in the little town of Bethlehem in Judah. We have not had a story from Judah since his tribe and Simeon's went to live in the south country, and brave old Caleb fought the sons of the giants in those rugged hills. This is a story of a fair maiden and her love. This father, whom they called Elimelech, was ready to leave the old home because there was a famine in all the country round about. The mother, perhaps you have heard her name, it was Naomi, was ready to go too, for Elimelech had said, "In the fields of Moab we can buy up land, and the boys and I will have work to do, and we shall have plenty to live on." It was not very far away, only just the other side of the Dead Sea. The little company, riding on asses perhaps, traveled eastward from the moors of Bethlehem to the purple hills of Moab by the road that goes down to Jericho and across the fords of the Jordan River nearby. So they came into the country of Moab and settled there. Its people were then at peace with Israel. The fields which they took were soon filled with grain, and they prospered well. They were so pleased with the people and the place that they did not go home again when the famine ended. But by and by, a sad day came for Naomi. Her husband, Elimelech, died, and she was left alone with her two boys, Mahlon and Chilion. They were big enough to take care of the fields, and when they were grown up, they married two of the fair daughters of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other was Ruth. They were a happy family, and they lived in Moab for about 10 years. Suddenly, Mahlon and Chilion died, and Naomi was left without her husband or her sons. It was very lonely. Her daughters-in-law were very good to her, but she missed her own people. She longed for the old home and friends. It was many years since she had seen them, for it was not very easy to travel in those days. Word had come to Naomi by someone going that way that the famine had ended long ago, that all was well in the old home, and she thought she had better go back. She talked with Orpah and Ruth about it. "We are poor," she said. "I will go back to my country and to my kinsfolk in Bethlehem, the house of bread. I hear that God has visited his people and has given them plenty." At once Orpah and Ruth said they would go with her. But Naomi said, "No, my daughters, I will go alone. It is better so." This they would not let her do, and the three started out together. Over the hills they went, but Naomi was troubled. She could not let her daughters-in-law leave their home for her. She turned to them again and said, "Go, my daughters, return each of you to your mother's house, and Jehovah deal kindly with you as ye have dealt with the dead and with me." Then she kissed them, but they lifted up their voices and wept. "Nay," said Orpah and Ruth, "we will return with thee to thy people." Again the mother said, "No, turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? It grieves me much for your sakes. Go to your homes, and may you be happy there." And again they wept together. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, and presently they said to one another, "Peace be with thee," which is like our goodbye, and Orpah turned sorrowfully to go back over the hills. But Ruth could not go with her. She clung to Naomi, and Orpah went on her way alone. Naomi turned to the fair girl beside her. "See," she said, "thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people. Thou must go after her." But Ruth looked at her, whom she loved as her own mother, and said, "Entreat me not to leave thee and to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. Jehovah do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." And the dear, unselfish Naomi could say no more. Ruth was willing to give up her home, her people, and her people's God for love of Naomi. From that day on, they were mother and daughter indeed. After a few days' journey, they came to the little town of Bethlehem. As far as Ruth's eye could see, there were fields and fields of waving yellow grain. It was just the time for harvesting the barley. Truly, she thought, the place is well called Bethlehem, the house of bread. There must be food enough and to spare. As soon as the two women entered the town, the news spread that Naomi had come home. Her old friends went out to meet her, but as they looked at her, they said, "Is this Naomi? Is it really she whom we used to know?" She turned to them and said, "Call me not Naomi, call me Mara." The one name meant pleasant, the other bitter, and poor Naomi felt that God had given her bitterness instead of pleasantness. The mother and daughter settled down in a little home together. As Ruth looked out early in the morning, she could see the harvesters going to their work. Often she could hear them singing their songs of thanksgiving to the sender of the harvest, the giver of all good gifts, the Lord of earth and sky. Ruth went out and watched these workers in the fields. After the reapers came the young men and boys who gathered up the sheaves into bundles and bound them ready to carry away to the threshing floor. Then she saw the gleaners following after the reapers and the young men and picking up all the grain that they could find. These were the poor people of the village and the strangers who needed food. For it was a law in that land that the grain that was scattered in the field or left uncut by the reapers should be taken by anyone who needed it. The rule was, "When ye reap the harvest of your land, thou shalt not wholly reap the corners of thy field, neither shalt thou gather the gleaning of thy harvest. Thou shalt leave them for the poor and for the sojourner, and when thou reapest thy harvest in thy field, and hast forgot a sheep in the field, thou shalt not go again to fetch it. It shall be for the sojourner, for the fatherless, and for the widow, that Jehovah thy God may bless thee in all the works of thy hands." So Ruth went home and said to Naomi, "Let me now go to the field and glean among the ears of grain after him in whose sight I shall find favor." And Naomi said to her, "Go, my daughter." Now Boaz, a wealthy and mighty man of Bethlehem, owned some of the best fields, and Ruth went to one of these without knowing that it was his. His servant, who was set over the reapers, saw the young girl coming. As he turned to her, she said, "Let me glean, I pray you, and gather after the reapers among the sheaves." And the servant, who knew who she was and had heard of all she had done for Naomi, gladly let her come. All the morning she gleaned and gathered in the barley that she could find. Presently the master, Boaz, came along the way. He watched his reapers in the distance, and then as they came near, he greeted them, saying, "Jehovah be with you." And they answered, "Jehovah bless thee." Then he called his head servant and asked, "Whose is this damsel who is a stranger in the field?" The servant answered, "She is the damsel who came back with Naomi from the land of Moab." And the great man said, "Tell me what you know about her." The servant told how Naomi, after some years in Moab, had lost both her husband and her sons, and how this young woman, who had been a wife of one of the sons, would not leave her mother-in-law alone, but came with her to a strange land and to a strange home to take care of her. "They are poor," he added, "and have only been in Bethlehem a few days. The damsel came and said to me this morning, 'Let me glean after the reapers.' I told her that she could, for my master was always kind." Boaz called the girl to him and said, "Hearest thou not, my daughter? Do not go into any other field, but stay here with my maidens. I have told the young men not to interfere with thee, nor hinder thee. And when thou art thirsty, go and drink of the water the young men have drawn." Ruth bowed down before the master and said, "Why have I found favor in thy sight? Why dost thou show me this kindness, seeing I am a foreigner?" And Boaz answered her, "I have heard of all that thou hast done for thy mother-in-law since the death of thy husband, of how thou hast left thy father and thy mother and thy homeland and art come to a people who are strangers to thee. Jehovah, the God of Israel, reward thee and protect thee." Ruth, glad as she had been to do what she had done, and much as she loved Naomi, was, for all that, a little homesick. Every time she looked at the blue mountains in the distance, she thought of her father and mother. and like a Scotch Highlander or a Swiss mountaineer, Ruth loved her mountain home. So again she thanked the master, saying, "Thou hast comforted me, for thou hast spoken kindly to thy handmaid, though I am not like thy handmaidens who belong here." And Ruth went back to her gleaning. Very brave and very loving she was to stay by the old Naomi, even though at times she felt homesick and lonely. Someone thinking of all this has told the story in this way. Lo, the princely-hearted Boaz moves among his reapers slowly, and the widowed child of Moab bends behind the gleaners lowly, gathering, gleaning as she goeth down the slopes and up the hollows, while the love of old Naomi like a guardian angel follows, and he speaketh words of kindness calm and stately, till he breaks the springs of gladness that lay cold and frozen lately.